me. I don't remember these things. I don't know why it doesn't come on automatic. I have to check in the settings. It should just come on automatic.
Oh, there we go. But just check your signals also sometimes jumping in and out. Most of the times it's clear, but then you have a break. But so far it's been all right.
Today's the cell phone companies, I mean, but Chemish was impossible. And now as well, I'm seeing I don't have a decent 4G connection yet. Huh? Just 1 second.
Yeah, you broke up for a bit. Now you're back.
Okay, I'm just trying to see if I can get another cache. The networks are, I might lose you for a little bit. Just 1 second. I'm switching.
Okay.
I can't decide which one to give me, which one's better. I've got a 4G connection here. I might just, let's just go with that for now.
Yeah, this one sounds good.
Resolve that. Yeah, this should be good. Okay, now I'm back on 4G. No, just it slipped out to like, it keeps tripping in and out of, I don't know why. Maybe something to do with Saturn and Jupiter being in conjunction tonight for the first time since 1630. Yeah, you know about that? In the Northern Hemisphere, you can't see it when you go.
I heard about that. Everyone was saying, go outside and look at the stars tonight.
Yeah, anyway, so it's not that dynamic. If you don't know what it is, you know, you've never seen it before. It's just two stars that are very close to each other. It's a big deal, but they're normally very far from each other. That just happened to be, if you track Jupiter and Saturn, and Mars, those are the three planets you can see with your naked eye. So if you track the stars, so you see that those are like nice pinpoints, because you can see them always, and they're always like far apart. Jupiter and Saturn are always like a good, you know, space apart. And the moment got so close to them, you could actually see them crossing over each other. It looks like they were one star for a while. That's why I couldn't find it, because I was looking for two stars and there was only one. Anyway, that's what's going on out there. That might have something to do with the gremlins. I don't know, whatever. Maybe it's because of the mutation in England. I don't know. Maybe it's because of whatever. Okay. So fine. So the tzaddik is doing everything he's supposed to be doing. Why is he having to sweat and struggle and suffer so much for panos? We've seen Hills, one example, but there are many. The Gemara is full of Elazar ben Pedas. There are many examples through history of great righteous people who Poshut just didn't have panasa. So that's your question. He says, no, no, I'll answer you. You're not the first person to be bothered by this question. The Nevim already dealt with this, and the Hasidim already dealt with this. It doesn't mean the guys with the strammels running around the Mayasharim, whatever. It means what he's called, he's a Rishon, what he's calling a Chosid. They've already dealt with this question. Navi Echad Shoel, one Navi Yirmiyahu says, Madua Derech Rishayim Tzlecho. Why is the path of the Rishayim being Matzliach? V'chabakuk v'noch Yachar Shoel, Lama Tir'eini Oven v'omel Tabit. What's this here? Sorry, for Shoid the Hamas Lenegdi, the Yi Riv Modern Yiso, Voisif Loime, Hirosha Machti as a Tzaddik. He's telling you how the Tzaddik, how terrible his life is, and it's Riv Modern, and you see the Tzaddik is walking around crowned. Voitoin Tacharish Bebole Rosha Tzaddik Mimenu. The person who's more Tzaddik is walking around in like fragged clothes or whatever. The David HaMelech says, "Ina eile rishayim v'shal ve'olam hizkuchayil." These rishayim, and they have all the tranquility of the world. V'amoid achrik zekiti levavi v'erchatz benikayon kapa. I have clean hands. I've achieved. Achrik zachiti levavi. What does he mean, rik levavi? To see what he says here. Just 1 second. The previous pasuk asked, why is it that the tzaddikim are having a hard time? Sorry, why the rishayim having such a good time? And now David HaMelech's asking, why the tzaddikim have such a horrible tongue. I'm clean-handed, I'm a tzaddik, and I'm suffering every day. And there's rebukes. Imalochi says, "Gam bochani Elokim v'yemalteu v'maleitu v'habe psukim doimen nemru." Okay, on all these psukim, you see that the Nevi'im have got this question: why the tzaddikim got such a good time? Why the Rishonim seeing so much sliach? What's going on here? But Tamedu shelo nosnu Nevi'im tshuva. So why didn't the Nevi'im ask the question? Why didn't they give an answer? When you're asking questions, you don't answer them. They just ask questions. So give a decent answer. Why don't they answer the question? You've said that we have to make ishtadlis. You've explained why we have to make ishtadlis. You've said that a tzaddik who doesn't need to make ishtadlis. So good. Now you've got philosophical problems with that or whatever. Go deal with it somewhere else. What's kosher to hilchos betochen? Shara betochen. If you have a philosophical question about why good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to good people, so then that's an ass philosophical discussion. People have had that discussion. Moshe Rabbeinu asked those questions. The Malachim had those questions. So I think maybe, I don't know, tell me what you think, it could be that this is one of the things that prevents a person from having betochen. When a person starts having betochen, and then he starts looking and he's saying, you know what, there's not, and maybe it doesn't pay this, you know, this being a tzaddik and having betochen and putting your trust in Hashem, look at the big tzaddikim, look at the Bechim Neben Doises and the Hillels and all these people, look, they didn't have an easy time with it. So it's a mafrein in your betochen. It could interfere with your betochen. He says in the beginning of Shara Bechina, there's certain things that interfere with a person's ability to makaim Bechina properly. So it could be that he feels he has to deal with this, yeah, because this is a lingering question. If this question's lingering, it may interfere with your ability to go further with betochen. Ulai, I don't know. I haven't seen that, but that I'm gonna have to have a look. I never got a chance to look this week in the before.
So what's he saying before that? Is he saying that almost these are the principles of betochen? If you have philosophical questions on them, it's not the place for dealing with principles. Is that what he's saying?
I'm asking that. That's my question. I'm saying, why is he dealing with this here at such length? You've told me why you have to make ishtadlis. You've told me that there's certain people because of that don't have to make ishtadlis. And you found the service. So you'll have a kasha, yeah, but there were tzaddikim who you see that worked very hard.
Okay, so he's not leaving it as a kasha. He's going to go into it now. You're saying, why just not leave it?
You know, raise the problem and just say, okay, you know, that's been dealt with in the Nevi'im, that's, you know, Ein Sham, you know, I'll write the, you know, in Sima Kuntras Asaikas, you know, of the Chovas HaLavavas, so it's a book called, you know, Philosophy 101, and he deals with why good things happen to bad people. He wrote the first one, you know, good things happen to bad people. He goes into Arichas, yeah, big, I'm sure we'll see. Anyway, I'm saying I think it could be, because if you don't have this clear, you're going to start having a hard time with betochen. So what does it help me if I'm a big tzaddik? What does it help me if I keep the mitzvahs? What happens if I'm a betochen? Anyway, Rukhinin B'dayis wasn't about betochen. He wasn't a big tzaddik.
No, but on the outside, they look like they're suffering. But if you ask these people, they have tremendous nukhas nefesh. They're happy with their lives. And they're probably happy.
Good. But that's not my question. My question wasn't at panosa. We're discussing panosa. The Rosh is movable. You're right. That's another aspect. That's another layer in the question. You'll see that the Rishoyim who look from the outside to be gevaldik, they have miserable lives. And the tzaddikim who have nothing have very happy lives. Fine. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. But that's not my problem here. My problem here is you just told me there's a principle in betochen that if a person has really passed the test, he's an honest Jew. You can't budge this guy. He's the most honest guy in the world. He just doesn't budge. You can't get him to do anything, you know, like anything dodgy. So fine, so he doesn't have to make ishtadlis for that reason. He uses all his spare time for avodas Hashem, for doing chesed, he's busy the whole day just doing the rotzon Hashem. So he shouldn't have to make ishtadlis for panasa. He should have panasa. Now we see guys who don't have panasa. Okay, fine, they can be very happy. That's because they're such big tzaddikim. Of all the questions on Hashem, am not on the tzaddik. Well, why don't they have panasa? Why don't they work so hard to make panasa? It doesn't fit the rules. He's got a kasha. He's asking the kasha. Because he just said something and you see that the metzias is not like that. So you should say, okay, that's where I'm going to deal with in my book on why good things happen to bad people. It could be that he goes into it, yeah, because this is where he asked the question. I mean, that's a partial territory. And also, I think if you don't get this clear, it's going to mafri. Let's see. There's nothing simple in the Chovos HaLevavos. The safer is the deepest. Who was it that said about the Chovos HaLevavos? He reached the highest level of Yerushalayim that is shaykh for any human being to attain. The Chasam Sofer maybe said it about him. I can't remember. I can look it up. I have it somewhere. Yeah, the depth in the Sefer. The Rishonim used to learn the Sefer. The Rishonim learned the Sefer. So don't get upset if you don't get it on the first reading. No, the Rishonim toiled in the Sefer. It's unbelievable. He was a Rishon, and his own generation toiled in the Sefer. The son of the Rosh brings down that the Rosh used to learn the Sefer. And the Rosh wrote his own Musa Sefarim. Ochas HaRosh, we don't toil in the Ochas HaRosh. The Chovos HaLevavos was in a league of his own. So anyway, it's quite a face. I find that unbelievable. I can learn the Sefer that the Rosh was learning.
Yeah,
get something out of it. It's beyond comprehension. And I get something out of it. I'm not saying I get what the Rosh got out of it, for sure not. If I did, then that's disappointing, because was he in the back of the Gemara, not me. But no, the Rosh was... These are restraining. I don't know what we're talking about, but I can
learn the same thing with the Gemara. It's the same thing with the Chumash. We still all learn the same thing they used to learn.
I don't know if I ever told you, but the Makabe Patish with me becoming frum was because of that. It was like, but I was still a long way away. Anyway, we went to Telstad for Shabbos, for Purim. We were eating, yes, by the Bortzes. Rabbi Tetz has a brother-in-law called Dr. Bortz. They live in Telstad. He's a big Talmud Chacham himself. Anyway, so we're going there for Purim. So we went there in the morning, whatever, for Purim. I don't know what Purim was exactly, how it works. Whatever, they told us, come. We got there. And it struck me that everybody in the house was playing with the same book. The Abba was in Megillas Esther, and the little three-year-old was in Megillas Esther, and everyone was reading Megillas Esther. And I was like, one second, that doesn't make sense. You know, everyone's reading Richie Rich comics, you know. I don't know if Yonatan knows what that is. Eli, you saw
it. Yeah, I did.
Okay, fine. So he has a three-year-old and a 15-year-old and the grandfather and the grandma, and everyone's reading the same safe and getting something out of it. It was like, wait a second, this is not man-made. You can't write a book.
Fascinating. You can't write a book.
So that for me was like a big, I remember that was like a whoa, you know, that's scary. There's something true about this Yiddishkeit, you know. Anyway, So fine. Okay, so let's see now. So the Rishonim all asked this question. I mean, the Navim all asked this question. So what's the answer? He says, "Vatamadu shelo nosnu anavim tshuva, hamavihira is sibas hadava." Now you got a bit disappointed, because he tells you now that the Rishonim, that the Navim didn't give a clear answer yet that answers, that clarifies this question. Why not? Who b'nei shelakol echad ve'echad miatzadikim halalu yesh siba acheres madu Hashem manaso yisoy biyusurim va'ini. There's no one answer. Each one of these tzadikim that Hashem tested with poverty and with Yusurim and his own personal reason. There's no one reason. And every one of these Rishoyim, each had his own reason why he got all the good in this world. There's no one reason. So what do you want the Navim to do? Write out the oldest of everybody that ever lived who, you know, seems to be, you know, playing not according to the rules and give you their reasons? No, they asked the question and they left it. Because the answer is depending on each person's unique situation. The reason of the one is not similar to the reason for the other. Therefore, the Navim couldn't give the details of each and every cause of each and every Rosh and Tzaddik. What do you want? We're talking about the whole world and all the Dairis, because each one's got a different reason. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu express this question. It seems like a statement, but he's kind of, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's question. And he starts la shtevel okenu vahaniglois lanu levaneinu. What's the pasuk there? The hidden things are unto Hashem, and the revealed things are to us. Do whatever you want with that pasuk, yeah? We use it in tshuva, the things that we know, the veiras we know, the nistoris, so the hidden things that Hashem knows, and we ask Him please to deal with them. The things we know, so those we've done tshuva for, yeah? Klaima, what does this mean? Shalon nach kor b'inyan ze, shepitroine golu rak l'Hashem. You shouldn't go and investigate the subject, says Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's only known to Hashem. V'ein b'koyach ha'adam l'asigoy.
Hello, you fade out there.
I can't understand the answer to this question. There is no question. Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to change reshet. If it'll let me do that.
I can hear you clearly now. It's funny when you try to change, all of a sudden we can hear you clearly.
He'll get scared that he's about to be dumped, so he gets his act together again. All right. That's okay now?
Yeah, all good.
Okay, no, I apologize. It's just
don't worry, don't apologize. Carry on.
My palms are a bit crazy. So only Hashem knows why each person gets what he gets. We don't understand. Don't go looking into this, Moshe Rabbeinu tells you. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, he himself couldn't understand this. Shlomo Melech HaChochem, Shlomo Melech was the wisest man in the world. Yeah? And what does he say? If you see all this injustice in the world, yeah, you see this problem we're having, don't get wondered by it. Don't get behelim by it. Don't freak out over it. Everything's got its reason. Called Dorchov Mishpat. All his ways are Mishpat. All his ways are just. Hashem, we can't understand, but we know that's Imuna. We know that whatever Hashem's doing, he's doing it for a reason. It's for our good. And you can't answer the question. So that's it. So you're very disappointed. You came here tonight to hear a question that you're not going to get an answer to. That's unbelievable, yeah? You have a look and you see the Nevuim and you see Moshe Rabbeinu tells you can't understand this, don't try and understand this, you can't get an answer, there's no answer. He says, you're right, but I'm going to give an answer. Obviously, he's not coming to tell you that he's going to give you the answer because he already told you it is no answer. If the Nevi'im of Moshe Rabbeinu and Shlomo Melech couldn't come up with an answer, he's not going to come up with an answer. But he's going to come up with ideas that will make it easier to deal with the subject. The Fachot b'miktsa savonasa adova. A little taste of a derech, of a kivunya. V'ayme achas asibos harabot shebiglalam. One of the reasons that because of you see it happens that the tzaddik has to really, really work very, very hard in order to acquire his panosa. Could be he did an aveira. Remember, he said each one's got a very personal reason. So he's going to give an example of what could possibly be a personal reason. Remember, he's not coming to answer the question. If you think he's coming to answer the question, now you've got the answer to the question, then you don't understand what he said on the page before, because he just told you that Naveem didn't have an answer for this question. Because it's too mefaret, it's too prati, depending on the individual. He's just coming to make it a little bit easier to understand a little bit of the subject, and he's giving you some possible examples of why it is like that. Well, there's not tshuva la shayla. There isn't a tshuva to the shayla. Could be because this person did an aveira. This tzaddik may have once done an aveira. And now he's getting punished. Okay, once again, these psukim, any malatotim psukim, that's what he says. ולפעמים מי יעשה השם את הצדיק בעולם הזה, כדי להחר בו את הסחורו בעולם הבא. Sometimes Hashem gives a tzaddik suffering in this world, אפילו זה לא מגיע לו, because he wants to give him מוסחר על עולם הבא. That we saw in the last chapter of the, well, the whole of the second chelek of Pirkei Machshava, Emunah v'Tochen, but specifically the last chapter, he explained it at length. Maybe I'll look at that again sometime. That Midas Adin requires and demands that a person only gets what he deserves. You can't get more schar than you earn, because that's already bread of shame, the law of it. But Hashem doesn't want to just give you the reward you can earn. He has much more in store for us. We can earn. Hashem's got much, much more than he wants to give us. But he's got a problem, because if he gives it to you, then you're back to bread of shame problem. So what he does is he gives a person who's yusrim he doesn't deserve. That opens up the opportunity to give him unbelievable schar that he doesn't deserve either, and then the books are balanced.
Sounds a bit interesting. Why do you have to punish someone and then they deserve it?
That's the whole of Anogas HaYichud, Anogas HaMishpat. That's the whole in Achinami. That's what he says. I'm just telling you, that's the whole of the last chapter of Pirkei Machshava. If you want to go have a look, and there he explains that at length. He just does. He even just
even when he explained it, it was hard to get your head around it.
Well, the last time we did it, Eli was better. I think we got more. Each time you do it, you understand a bit more. The first time I learned it with Rav Hillel, I didn't understand nothing. I was so angry shouting at Rav Hillel that it's up because of that I didn't understand nothing. And then light, you start Alon and myself and Moshe Gottlieb. Wow, we used to fight with him. Eh? Wow, because this was not, what are you talking about? You know? That was the first time I heard about the sugya. Was from Yaakov Hillel. He did it from the Arizal. He took out the Eitz Chaim and he read it inside the Arizal there. Not that it wasn't a Kabbalah share. We were in his Pek Havah share at the time. He wasn't learning Kabbalah. He was just happened to be an Eitz Chaim on the table, and he said, I'll show you inside. And it was just like, whoa, the room just exploded. Hey, guys went, wow, what are you talking about? You know, when you're doing a Veda, that's what Hashem wanted in the beginning, and he wants your Veda. slowly. And afterwards, I found the Nefesh HaChaim says something similar. Even if you're doing a Veda, Hashem knows what to do with your Vedas. Don't worry. He knows how to take their Vedas and utilize them properly also. Not that it matters you a Veda, and you don't have to do tshuva and whatever. No, anyway. So there it deals with this problem of how can you give somebody who doesn't, that's called Yisurim Shel Ava. How can you give a person you assume he doesn't deserve because you want to give him reward he doesn't deserve? That's the second one. That's a pasuk in Chumash. I gave you Inuim, I gave you suffering, and I tested you in order to give you goodness afterwards. And that's what I'm doing now is only for your good, to add goodness to what I'm giving you. And then the third reason. Sometimes Hashem will take this tzaddik and will use him to teach other people. So Hashem will give him yusurim and yishainus, and he'll show he'll be an absolute paradigm of tzidkas, and people will learn from him. People will then learn from him this midah. That even when you have suffering, like Reb Zusha, you know, the famous Maaseh Reb Zusha, he went to his Rebbe, he wanted to know, how can you be besimcha when you have suffering? So Rebbe said, you come to the wrong guy, but go to Reb Zusha. Sent him off to Reb Zusha, he came to Reb Zusha's house, it was a broken down hovel, kids outside looked like mamash, the clothes are falling off them, whatever, mamash, abject poverty and suffering. He knocks on the door, and Reb Zusha says, the Baal Shem Tov told me, who was the Baal Shem Tov? Lord, I'm not a big Hasidish, I don't know too many Hasidish stories. It was a Baal Shem Tov told me to come and ask you a question. He said, no, you must make a mistake. Why would I don't know anything. He said, no. He said, I must come and ask you how you could be happy with suffering. He said, no, that's for sure you sent me to the wrong guy, because I've never suffered in my life. I don't know what suffering is. So there's people like in the world who Hashem uses the Ishnar Nachamush Gamzu. Bal Yisurim Otsu. But he was Nachamush Gamzu. What do we learn from him? See, Hashem has people like that in the world that are there to teach others how to live with Yisurim, Basimcha. That's what he says. And of course, they'll get reward for that. Because Lo Magele Ma Suffering Azeh. And we'll end with maybe you got 2 more minutes?
Yeah, go for
it. Okay, that's another thing we have to understand. Sometimes he gets the suffering, the tzaddik, not because of his rishis, because of the rishis of the door. When there's a generation that's evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this guy terrible suffering, and he continues to serve Hashem b'nei emunah, so that people can see the difference between someone who serves Hashem and someone who doesn't. So there's somehow maybe I don't know what the gain is there. Does it make the Rishrei more chayev? Does it make more reward for the benefit it's for? Pashut, the benefit is for the Rishrei. They'll be able to learn from that and change. But and if they don't, then I suppose the oinish is bigger because you can't tell it. Well, we didn't know how to do that. You had a tzaddik living in your midst. I don't know. Okay, and the last one he brings out. Lefamim sibas adove hi mipnei shehu lo makane is kinas Hashem limchoiz b'bnei doirei. Kmo yishudu alucham ya'oinish al b'nei eli shenema aleim. But could be that he's getting suffering because he didn't give tochocha to the generation. He didn't fight Hashem's battles. He didn't go out and like Yirmiyahu Novi did. He risked his life to go waken up the people like Eli. He didn't go give tochocha and to object to what the generation was doing. He just kept quiet and lived his own life. And shalom aleichem, everything's fine. He didn't go out there and give it to the guys and tell them you know. So that may be also why he has yusurim. Okay, but that's not a tzaddik. That's a guy who did something wrong. That's somebody who did something wrong. Lord Tzaddik. It's the same as a Tzaddik who did an Aveira. He's getting his punishment because he did an Aveira. Okay, but the bottom line is he's given us a few dugma'ot, possible ideas as why you see that things don't always go the way we'd expect them to based on the klal of why we have to make ishtadlis. And now he's going to explain, next week we'll see, he's going to explain why the Rasha gets such nice things happening to him as well. It's the flip side of the tzaddik. We'll see that there are one or two frightening things in there as well. And then he's going to discuss, go into much more detail, Hilchas Ishtadlis. He's going to discuss all the pratim of Ishtadlis, how to know what Ishtadlis to make, where, how much Ishtadlis. He goes into all the pratim of the sugya called Ishtadlis.
Amazing.
And so he called them means to an end. Okay, let's say the Gomel.
Yeah, but there are interesting reasons. I'm saying the second last reason where you said that the tzaddik suffers to show the door, that it's a Kiddush Hashem that he carries on, no matter what happens to him, that he, it doesn't, I don't know if he's saying it, I know you implied from that, maybe we'll get punished more because we had such a tzaddik in our midst, but I think it's more on for him. For this tzaddik, he'll get rewarded more because of this challenge that he went through. Like, look at Rabbi Albach, that's Shlita. His house burnt down, literally burnt down. And the next morning, at 6 in the morning, he carried on with his shir. He didn't miss a shir. He didn't skip a beat. He just gave it very emotional. It was, it's like, how do you think anything different besides that person believes in something bigger than him? How can you just get up the next day in a hotel room where you don't even know what's going on? Your whole life just burnt down. It's amazing.
He's a big man. Okay, that's you're talking about a very big man. He's even bigger than we think he is. That's why he's so big, because nobody knows really how big he really is. Because he's just so posh. He walks out with a little short jacket and he makes out like he's everyone, like, ulo, afilu. You know, he's amazing. Wow. I miss him a lot, I'm sure.
He's a special.
He's never somebody like that in South Africa.
Bye, Eli. Be well.
Bala Tov, Eli. For me, he's the godel in South Africa today. After Grosness left, you know, the two of them, they were the two godelim in South Africa.
Ah, I still, whenever I have a big shot, I always call him. But he, you know, he's a special man. He's out of, like you said, he's something different that people just don't understand. He does everything. You don't know what he does. He does everything. You only find out when you speak to the people who've been going through hard times that Rabbi Auerbach was involved in everything.
No, he's. I know. I had a lot of dealings with him. I had a lot of dealings with his own suffering as well. Like personal stuff that he was going through with kids and stuff like that. You know, I was very involved with Gedalia.
I was very involved with Gedalia.
I'm just saying. So I know. I used to speak to him often, and he shared his pain or whatever. He's a big man. He's a massive man. He's a very, very big man.
Fortunate. But anyway, Raf, shkach for your shira. I appreciate it. I love the learning. I love this.
No, shkach for you. We're learning together. It's not really a shira. We learn together.
No, but I appreciate it. It's good. It's at the moment, it's all the learning I'm doing. So it's really power.
Okay, fine. Well, if you've got any other time, give me a shout. Now it's a bit harder because I'm traveling again. Before I was traveling, so like at 2 hours, I didn't have to drive. Now I'm driving 2 hours a day. So, but my afternoons, I have a bit of time. If you want to duck out of work, you want to learn a bit, I can. I'm in the base midrash on my own the whole afternoon. Learning. So if you want to pop onto Zoom, we can learn something whenever you want. Just let me know.
Okay. You know, thank you so much for the offer.
Make an arrangement. You can just like call and we can, you know, ad hoc it. Anyway, take good care.
You too. Take care. Have a good night.
Enjoy your holiday.